The reading is written in Psalms chapter 37, verse 1, and is to be found on page 563 in the Church Bible. Psalms chapter 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. Though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field, they will be consumed. They will go up in smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sandy, for reading that so beautifully. I wonder if I could have the clicker as well. Thank you. Let's pray as we come to look at God's word. Father, we do pray that as we come to look at this particular verse, but also at this topic of desire, that you would focus our hearts and our minds on you. We ask this in your name. Amen. There was this time when we were in the Lake District as a family. We loved going on holiday there. And we were walking up Helvellyn, which is a reasonably sized mountain. And unusually in the Lake District, it was baking hot. I mean, really hot. And we had taken loads of water. I'd taken two-litre bottles of water. But it was becoming clear quite early on that it wasn't going to be enough. And so I started, because I'm a noble father, stopping drinking water myself. But we were all getting increasingly thirsty. I was getting really thirsty. And do you know what we started doing? We started fantasizing about the drink we would buy from the mini-mart when we got to Glenridding. And we all started talking about which drink we wanted. And I wanted the Core Press, is it Core Press, I think? Apple juice, fizzy apple juice. And I was imagining it on the wall. I was imagining it being there in the fridge with little drops of condensation coming down. And I was imagining reaching my hand out and pulling it out and then waiting in the queue, not worried that my hand was getting cold, putting it against my forehead, thinking that looked a bit weird. But I was still imagining it, paying the man behind the till, who, by the way, has a tab for the kids of the village to buy sweets. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, and then getting outside and then going, kish, and then lifting it to my lips and just drinking it and feeling it going over my parched tongue and the sweetness of it and the joy of it. Desire is an amazing thing. It's this weird thing that at one level feels pain as you desire something, but also the beauty of it being satisfied, a beauty that is greater, the greater the thing is, and the longer we wait. Well, we're going to start a series looking at desire because it is such a fundamental part of what it means to be human. And we're going to think about the desires of our hearts, literally what our hearts in this passage cry out for. They're the things that when you're bored at work or waiting on a bus, you daydream about. And they're the things that you wake up in the night fearing that you will lose or you will never get. What are the desires of our heart and how are we to reorientate them in a way that will bring us fulfillment and true joy? Well, we're going to focus on this one verse from Psalm 37. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And the first thing we learn from this passage and from the rest of Scripture is that God is the creator of desire. God's not embarrassed by desire. He's not embarrassed that you have a deep, deep longing for things. He's not embarrassed by that longing in you. It is he who gave us the capacity to desire. He will give you the desires of your heart, literally the requests which your heart keeps calling out for. And it turns out that this was his intention from the very beginning. In Genesis 2, we read this. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the garden, trees that were pleasing to the eye, literally, that were desirable and good for food. So God's purpose in planting these trees was that Adam would look over to the trees and he would see this gorgeous fruit hanging from the trees and feel a strong desire for that fruit, that he would go over, pick the fruit from the tree, bite into it and find refreshment and fulfillment and satisfaction flood through his whole body. And that's not just a thing of the old creation, our existing creation, but also the new creation, what it is for Christians. This is what Galatians 5 says us. For the flesh, that means the pre-Christian me that's still hanging around, desires what is contrary to the spirit. That means the new me that is filled with God's spirit. But here, and the spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. Do you get this? That God has placed his spirit in you with a whole new set of desires. Desire is part of his saved purpose for you if you're a believer. And then in Revelation, it has this image of the new creation, the one that is yet to come. What some people call heaven, but really is this new heaven and new earth. And the Lord calls out, let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes, once again, literally desires, takes the free gift of the water of life. God has made desire. It is his creation. But secondly, God is not just the maker of desire, the creator of desire itself. He is also the satisfier of desire. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. God loves to give you satisfaction, to fulfillment. That's what I think eternal life's going to be like. Not the end of desire, which sounds incredibly boring, but a life where we have greater and greater desires whilst knowing with absolute certainty and joy that they're always going to be met. That's what is the difference between bad desire and good desire, isn't it? Good desire is a desire you know is going to be satisfied. Bad desire is a desire that you're not sure whether it will be satisfied. That's the sort of desire that tortures. But the new creation will move us from anxiety to anticipation. We'll no longer have desires that we fear are wrong or will not be satisfied. We will only know wholesome, true, good, and holy desires that we know are guaranteed to be met. That's why we move from anxiety and desire to anticipation. Because the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. You will find yourself in a place where every desire that emerges in your heart will find its fulfillment in the Lord. And then it will arise up again and will find its fulfillment in the Lord again. He will satisfy your desires. God is the creator of desire. God is the satisfier of desire. But also he's the fulfillment of desire. Note those first phrases. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires for your heart. I think often I've actually changed this verse to say something like this. Obey God enough. Do enough things for God and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that works something like this. I've got all of these desires in my heart here. Desires for success, desires for that chocolate over there, desires for all of these things, desires for peace, desires for safety, desires for relationship, desires for love, desires, all these desires, but I need to buy God off somehow. So I'll be obedient, I'll give to the church, I'll do good stuff, and then maybe he'll give me the desires of my heart. But that isn't what it says. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It turns out that God is not only the one who gives desires, he is not only the one who satisfies desires, he does it with himself. God has given us desire to find our satisfaction of it in him. Take delight in the Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean to take delight in the Lord? Well, it means make the Lord your number one treasure. You are choosing the greatest thing to desire, greater than all other things. And you will be choosing the one desire that can truly satisfy you. That's why in Psalm 73 it says this. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The psalmist here is going through a rough time. But in the midst of that, he has a deeper longing for the Lord. Now note, the singer doesn't say, whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that somehow God says, you will not desire anything more. Eilish, you will stop desiring Dairy Milk chocolate, and you will desire me instead. No, it says, earth has nothing I desire besides you. That means without you. In other words, if I'm given this deal that I can have the Dairy Milk, but I have to let go of God, I'm not interested. Well, why is that? Well, because that's how desire works. We have a ranking of desire in our hearts. Yes, I would desire to go and see the World Cup final, Rugby World Cup final, by the way, in France, between England and France. And England win. That is a big desire in my life. I've got a much greater desire that my family are kept safe, that they know the Lord. So if you held out a ticket for me to that final, and then you held out my family knowing the Lord, that desire for the ticket just dissolves. If that ticket would pull me away from my other goal. Now, don't get me wrong. If I can have both, I'll have them both. But if it comes to choosing, I'll always choose my greatest desire, the thing I long for and love for most. And that is what the singer is saying here. He's saying, it's a no-brainer. If I desire anything which would take me away from the Lord, I'm not interested anymore. It's turned to dust and ashes in my mouth. In other words, the more we make the Lord our treasure, the more our other desires will get reorientated and shifted round. Let me tell you right now, this psalm is the secret to curing your addictions. Maybe you have an addiction, which everyone recognises an addiction, like to alcohol or to sex or to drugs or to work. Maybe it's an addiction other people don't recognise, to food, to box sets, to whatever it is, to gossip. This is the cure to those addictions. When desire has got out of control, which we'll be thinking about in future weeks, it is that we have a greater desire, that anything which takes us away from him, the living God, the Lord Jesus, suddenly loses its pull on our hearts. You're struggling with an addiction. One way to think about it is, as you come and are on the cusp of giving in, think, am I willing to give up Jesus for this thing? Earth has nothing I desire if I don't have you. But why would God do it this way? Isn't it all a bit self-serving of God? Well, what sort of being says, I'll create you to desire me? Have you heard that argument? Maybe often put in the language of worship. What sort of person would create something to worship them? If you're into technical philosophy here, it's a category error, and I can talk to you more about that. But at the very simplest, think about this. God is supreme. He is the most wonderful being in the whole of everything. Everything we might desire in this world is only a pale echo of his glory, beauty, excitement, power, love, holiness, goodness, glory. For him to make us so that our desires would be satisfied with less than him would be for him to be stingy and not to seek our very best. Because he is God, the very best gift he can give us is that we would find our desires satisfied with him. In other words, you were made for big desires. This is where the popular view of Christianity is so wrong. That holiness, being a good Christian, is about removing desire from our lives. No, true holiness is about stopping misdirecting our desires from God to those who can satisfy, to those things which can't. C.S. Lewis describes it beautifully. He says, it would seem that our Lord, Jesus, finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. We're like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Well, God's challenge to you today is stop being easily pleased. Stop shooting low in your desires. Aim for him instead. We live in a culture that thinks that the solution to the fact that things around us don't satisfy our desires is to double down, is to consume more and more of them, whether it's food, entertainment, sex, popularity, success, health, peace, cars, jewelry, surgery, tattoos, whatever it is. When they don't satisfy, we just make ourselves more their slaves. We're like thirsty people who drink seawater. And when that seawater leaves us more thirsty, we just return and drink more of it. Instead, the singer here is saying, retune your heart. Let the Lord retune your heart to take delight in the only one who can fulfill you. To take your delight in the Lord, because he will give you the desires of your heart. This is what I love in 1 Peter. When it talks about Jesus, Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Okay, but how do I take delight in the Lord? Three things. The first is thankfulness. Thankfulness. Give thanks to the Lord for those things that you desire that are wholesome and are good and that satisfy you. This is what Psalm 103 says. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who satisfies your desires with good things. So next time, what are you looking forward to this week? What great thing are you really looking forward to? Think of your diary. What are you looking forward to? What's the thing you're thinking, oh, that will get me up that morning? What is it? Well, why don't you beforehand say, Lord, thank you that with you, I'm going to find that satisfied. You know, why don't you sit down before your meal and just say a prayer and say, Father, thank you that you're going to satisfy my desire for food. But I wouldn't want this food if I could only have it without you. It is you who is my true satisfaction. Much of our dissatisfaction in this life is actually simply that we are blind to how the Lord satisfies our desires in a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute moment. Every breath we breathe satisfies our desire for oxygen, and he gives us that breath. Recently, I've been struggling with, well, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? And the Lord put on my heart that I was missing all the answers God had given to prayers that I'd not even prayed for. Another day breathing. Another day with my family. Another day of food. Another day of shelter. Another day of chocolate. Or several days, maybe just a day of chocolate. He daily is satisfying my desires. Thankfulness. The second is generosity. Did you notice in our reading, it says this, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. A sign that you take delight in the Lord and trust in him to give you the desires of your heart is you can be freer in giving away the things you desire. Have you ever thought about that? I remember Richard once preaching about how the fundamental thing in our cult, in our economy, is scarcity, the fear of not having enough. And that's why we hold on to things and hoard things. But when you aren't afraid anymore, when you know the Lord will satisfy your desires, you can give those things that you desire away. In fact, it's a really good discipline. It's a way of saying, Lord, I love this thing, but I'm going to give it to this person because I know I don't need to be afraid. I know you will satisfy my every desire. And also, we can use our dissatisfaction. That's the third thing. Thankfulness, generosity, and use your dissatisfaction. The striking thing about each of those psalms, both Psalm 37 and Psalm 73, very helpfully remembered, they're just the numbers 3 and 7, is that actually in the context of the singers going through a horrible time. Right, one says, delight yourself in the Lord and take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And the other one says, whom have I in heaven but you in earth? There's nothing I desire besides you. But in both cases, they're going through a miserable time. And in particular, they're upset because there's something broken about desire. It's unfair. The wicked, in both cases, seem to get their desires met, and those who are faithful don't. And we know that. Isn't desire unfair? If you're rich, if you're good-looking, if you're successful, if you've got a good personality, you will get more of your desires met than others. At least, your temporary desires. Like, I'm not going to do very well out of a dating app, let's be honest. But George Clooney's going to do better. Desires are not equally met in our world. And so the reality is that we live in a time of frustration. We know that desire is broken. But when we feel that frustration, either because of desires that won't be met because the world is unfair, or desires that shouldn't be met because they're wrong, the singers are hopeful that one day, those who seek their desires fulfilled by this world but without God will be left finally unsatisfied. But those who seek their desires fulfilled with God will be finally satisfied. So why don't you try to reignite your taking delight in the Lord by doing those three things? By taking the opportunity every time your desire is satisfied to give thanks to the Lord for it. Secondly, by making sure that you are generous with the things you desire. They lose their grip on your heart that way as you trust in the Lord to fulfill your desires. And thirdly, why don't you Retune your desires by using your dissatisfaction to give you a longing for the day when the Lord will make every desire of your heart good and holy and right and completely fulfilled in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us the capacity for desire, even though in this fallen world so often it is frustrated and frustrating. Lord, we thank you that you haven't left us like that, but you call us to the walk where we will find every desire fulfilled in you. Lord, please may we shut out the voice around us that will make us fix our desires on what cannot satisfy. And instead, may we, through thankfulness, through dissatisfaction, and through generosity, retune our desires that they would delight in you. That we would truly say, the earth has nothing we desire besides you. Amen.